And this week's parsha, Parsha Vayishlach, we are introduced to Esav's progeny, to the children of Esav and his grandchildren. At the end of the parsha, we read a list of the names of Esav's wives and children and grandchildren, then the family history of Seirah Chayri, the ones that Esav chased out of Har Seir and took over from, and then finally a list of the kings that came from Esav, and a list of Alufim that followed those kings also from Esav. We're introduced for the first time to Amalek, who turns out to be a grandson of Esav, which raises a number of problems. We know the Torah tells us, Lo Sasayev Adomi. We're not allowed to hate an Adomi, meaning a descendant of Esav, Ki Achichu. And we're told that we're not allowed to take over the land of Edom. We have to leave them alone. Take over Eretz Yisrael, but don't take the land away from Edom. That's theirs. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them. On the other hand, the Pasuk tells us very clearly, Mocha Emcha Zecher Amalek, and that's a mitzvah for us to be Mocha Zecher Amalek, who was a grandson of that same Esav. And we are told to take away his land. It says that they're Yoshvei HaNegev. They had a section in the south of Eretz Yisrael. And we are told to conquer them, wipe them out, and obviously take over their land from them. How could that be? Where at the same time we're told to have a different relationship with the children of Esav, with Bnei Edom. The Ramban addresses this in this week's parsha, and explains that the pasuk makes the point of the fact that v'timna hoisa pilegesh le'alifaz, right? That one of the sons of Esav was named Alifaz, and he had a pilegesh, meaning a secondary wife, and v'atelad le'alifaz as Amalek. She gave birth to Amalek. And Ramban points out that this pilegesh was not a freed pilegesh like Bilhah and Zilpah, who became a full-fledged wife, but rather she was an Amma, a Shifcha of Eliphaz, and he lived with her and had a child. The child that comes from a Shifcha is not really mityaches, is not related to the father in the same way as the other children, as we find by Yitzhak and Yishmael. Avram had two sons, Yitzhak and Yishmael. Yitzhak is the Zera of Avram Avinu, whereas Yishmael is not the Zera of Avram Avinu. Yishmael is the Ben Ha'amah. No, Yirish Ben Ha'amah Azos and Bnei Yitzchak. So the Ben Ha'amah is not really part of the family. It doesn't take the Yerusha with the family. And that's what the Pasuk is pointing out, that Amalek is the Ben Ha'amah, and therefore wasn't part and parcel of Esav's family. Therefore, Edom, we must be respectful towards. Amalek, we must destroy. Amalek is not fully part of Edom, even though he's counted over here along the list of the children of Esav. Another related point involving the children of Esav is the number of the children. The Pasuk counts in detail the three wives and the families that that came from them. The three wives of Esav, that right, was Oda, you know, Livama and Basmas Bas Yishmael. Oda and Basmas each had one child, and the Torah counts their children as the mishpachos that eventually came from them. Five from Oda and four from Basmas. Then it counts three more from Olivama. Problem is that even though it counts five plus Amalek that came from Eliphaz, meaning six altogether, if you count the Ben Hashifcha, there's six. And nevertheless, when he counts later the Alufei Bnei Esav, meaning the appointed positions, the chieftains that were the families that came from Esav, and it repeats the same names of these grandchildren and children, right? The same, each of the names that listed earlier as being the grandchild or a child of Esav, it now calls them Ela Alufei Bnei Esav, Bnei Eliphaz, it lists the Bnei Eliphaz, and suddenly it adds a seventh one. Besides saying the six, including Amalek, it adds Aluf Korach. Where did he come from? There's a similar problem in Divrei Yomim, where the Pasuk adds a name to the Bnei Eliphaz, not Korach, but Timna. Where did Timna come from? Timna was the wife of Eliphaz, and suddenly we see an extra child of Eliphaz called Timna, and in the Pesukim in the Torah, in the Vayishlach, in our Parsha, the extra child is called Korach. So the Rishonim addressed this question, and there's a number of explanations, and many of them do away with these children. For instance, explanation that I particularly like, putting together comments from a number of the different Rishonim, the Ramban, Rashi, and the others, is that really Korach, who's counted as an extra son in this week's Parsha, is not the son of Eliphaz. It's the same Korach that's counted among the children of Ahalivama, the other wife of Esav. Right? It's not from the wife Ada, who's the mother of Eliphaz, rather. She's from the wife Ahalivama, from a different wife. In fact, there is an Aluf Korach and a child Korach from that wife. Well, why should that child be counted twice then, if it's the same child? Why are we putting him in a second time? The answer is that he was a mamzer. Eliphaz went and had a child from Ahalivama, from his father's wife. He had a child from his father's wife while his father was alive, or else after his father died. In either case, he had a child from his father's wife, and that child was Korach. It turns out then that the child is both Eliphaz's child and Ahalivama's child. After Ahalivama died, when Korach was still young, Eliphaz took the child into his house because he knew that he was the real father, whether everyone else knew or not. He knew that he was the real father, so he felt mercy for him especially. So he took the young child into his house and raised him. Since Ahalivama gave birth to him, counted as Ahalivama's child. Since Eliphaz raised him, he's also listed under Eliphaz. Why then? Right? That same Korach is the one that's called Timna later in Divrei Hayamim. Why the name change? Well, because Eliphaz raised the child. He wanted to give the child his own name. He named the child after his Pilegesh, who had recently died, whose name was Timna, and he gave his son the same name, Timna. So Korach was Timna, and when he became an Aluf, he was embarrassed of the name Timna, named after a Pilegesh, so he went back to the original name, Korach. In every case, it comes out then that we could ignore the child that's mentioned in Divrei Hayamim and the extra child that's mentioned among the Alufim. And when we do that, we find a very interesting point. If that's the pshat in the psukim, now that we've developed the pshat, we can analyze the psukim and find a hidden jewel in them. And that is that if you add up the number of children of Esav, you'll find that the number of mishpachos that came out of him were six from Eliphaz, if you count Amalek, then Basmati you have four, that's 10, and from Ahalivama you have 3. That's a total of 13. Or actually, since we said Eliphaz isn't a full-fledged child and wasn't Yorish with the children, you really have 12 children plus Amalek. I'm sorry, Amalek was the one that wasn't a full-fledged child. So you have 12 children plus Amalek. If you have 12 children plus Amalek, it's obvious what Esav was driving at. And it's the same thing that many other mishpachas were driving at. In the end of Toldos, we find that Yishmol had 12 alufim. The Pasuk lists 12 alufim that came from Yishmol. I'm sorry, in the end of Chayisara, 12 alufim that came from Yishmol. Shnei Masr Nesiyim, he calls him Lumasam. Those are the children of Yishmol. Then in the end of Vayera, the Pasuk lists the children of Nachar. He also had 12 children. In fact, 8 of them from a regular wife and 4 from a Pilegesh, just like Yaakov Avinu. And Rashi over there, the end of Vayera, explains that the idea behind this was to start a family like Yaakov Avinu's, to correspond to that. In other words, it was a Kabbalah among these early nations that the chosen people would be a group of 12 children that came from one person. And the one person would be Ma'ached, would join together these 12 people. And each of them was trying to have a go at it. It's from Nachar to Yishmael, and down to Esav now. Of course, Yaakov Avinu was the only one that had 12 children that really were Mitached Tachtav. They were one. They were united unto him into one unit. And they were the ones that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose, the grandchildren of Avram Avinu, and Yitzhak Avinu. But the others were rejected. But they all tried. And Esav also tried to have his 12. Those are the 12 children mentioned here. What about Amalek? I think that Esav was trying to outdo the others. Esav said, well, if they have 12, if Yaakov's going to have 12, I'm going to have 13. He added another one. There's one more that was added. Was the full-fledged child, so that shouldn't take away from the number 12, but rather it was the Ben Apilegesh. This Amalek was coming to try to outdo Yaakov Avinu, to one-up him. That seems to be what Esav was trying to get at, what the family of Esav was trying to get at. Of course, though, the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin, Kol Amosif Goreya, the more you add, the more you take away. When you try to add more, you end up just losing, which is the reason that a person that's arrogant about Gaiva, a person that thinks he's bigger, he's greater, is really lacking. Gemara says, Kol Misgoa, Reyu Balmum. And if a person tries to make himself bigger, he makes himself smaller. And Kol Amosif Goreya, whenever you try to add to something more than the right amount, the correct amount, you take away from what you really have. And the Gemara tells us that, and the same is true of Esav. Kol Amosif Goreya, he was trying to add one more to make it 13, and Goreya, it ended up that he simply lost what he had. Where is that? In the end of the parsha, when it boils down to the Alufim of Esav, the parsha counts, Achadatre Alufim, there are 11 Alufim of Esav. Ela Shemos Alufe Esav, Mishpachosim, then Esav had a number of kings, then he had a number of Alufim. Once again, we have a list of Alufim, not the same list as before. The first list of Alufim are the sons of Esav and grandsons. Afterwards came kings, and after the kings, there are no more kings. Instead, they divided up among Alufim. They had Alufim as rulers, and this time there are only 11 Alufim. Esav lost an Aluf. We didn't have 12 Alufim. Why? Kol Amosif Goreya. You didn't think that 12 was the right amount? You're trying to add to that? Goreya, you ended up losing one. You have only 11. And it's very interesting that same Gemara in Sanhedrin brings down a proof to Kol Amosif Goreya from the Yerios HaMishkan. The Yerios HaMishkan were 11 Yerios, and the Torah refers to them as Ashte Esrei Yerios. The Gemara says that had it not said Ashte Esrei, but just Shtei Esrei, without the ayin, it would have meant 12 Yerios. Now that it added the ayin, it makes it into 11 Yerios. The extra ayin takes one away. Ashte Esrei, the extra ayin, makes it from 12 into 11. It's brought down in the... What's interesting about this is that it's brought down in the Svarim HaKadoshim that the Yerios Izim, the Achadatrei Yerios Izim, correspond to the Achadatrei Alufei Esav. Esav, who's a Seir, Seir, he's Seir, and he's hinted at by a Seir Izim in a number of places, at Sfir Vahasair, in Daniel, and other places, and in Gemara's, he is the one that's hinted at in by the Yerios Izim, by the curtains made of goat's hair that were covering the Mishkan, to show that when Bnei Yisrael do return to Shel Makom, then even Esav is subject to Klal Yisrael and serves the Kadosh Baruch, who has his part in Avodas Hashem together with Bnei Yisrael. And these Achadatrei Yerios Izim hint to the fact that Ashtei Esrei, that when you add one to Shtei Esrei, you end up with 11. Ashtei Esrei. That is exactly what Esav tried to do, to make his extra 13th, and he took away from the 12 instead of adding to it. He ended up with Ashtei Esrei. And the letter that takes away from the 12 is the letter Ayin for Esav or Amalek, which is the same Ayin that we find in Tehillim Pei, which is Teluya. And the Rebbeinu Bachi talks about this at length in the end of the parasha, that Miyar is Osios Iram, the last of the Alufim of Esav, and it's Meramis to Amalek and to Esav, like Rashi says over there in Tehillim. Meramis to Amalek. The Ayin Teluya, the letter Ayin that popped up, not in the line along with the other letters, but rather popped up a little bit. Chazir Miyar, the boar of the forest, the boar of the swamp, that is Amalek. And it's the letter Ayin that represents him, that's Teluya. that's raised up. And that raised up ayin is the ruach gavoha of a molech. The molech that whose spirit is lifted up, who has a ruach gavoha, has gaiva, who's the added one, that's called a mosif goreya that Esav added, that amalek is the ayin teluya, the ayin that's raised up to show the gaiva of amalek. And amalek represents. And we find that the midos of Talmidos Shel Bilam, the Mishnah counts, are ruach gavoya, nefesh rechava, the ayin ra, meaning arrogance, and unsatiable desire, and finally, ayin ra, meaning not just stinginess, means that the person doesn't like the fact that others have. It bothers him when others have. That's midos that go together, because the arrogance leads to the fact that I want, I must have, and that leads to the fact that if someone else has, it bothers me. And those are the midos of Amalek, and that's the ayin tluya. The ayin hinting to a ayin ra, and tluya hinting to ruach gavoa of bnei amalek. Those midos that go together, that follow one another, which are of course the midos that amalek simply exemplifying from Esav. We find by Esav the ruach gavoa yeshli rav. Rashi tells us yeshli yosef yosef mashani torech in this week's parasha when he replies to Yaakov, who says yeshli kol, Esav says yeshli rav. And the nefesh rechava, halitaini namina adom adom azeh, and the ayin ra, he couldn't stand that Yaakov had all those possessions. Couldn't bother him when someone else has something that he doesn't. It couldn't. It doesn't let him sit still. Yaakov gets the brachos, Yaakov gets the possessions, and he can't sit still with that. And that's the midos of Amalek, who is the one, all the ra in Esav. Mm-hmm. Mid of Yaakov is, of course, the opposite. The mid of Anova, right? Ekev, Anova, Yiras Hashem. And the mid of the children of Yaakov is that the Anova is Me'achet them, unites them, brings them together. And through that, Bezat Hashem, they'll be Zeicha to be Kaivish, Esav and Amalek. Bezat Hashem, may we be Zeicha to be able to unite and to exemplify the midos of Yaakov Avinu, of Anova and union, and through that to overcome Esav and all those that follow him.